From our Chicago area studios, this is Behind the Destruction, your Demolition Derby podcast. And now for your hosts, Chris Neumer and Steve Gursky Jr. Welcome to Behind the Destruction.
This is episode number 4 of Behind the Destruction for the week of December 18th, 2011.
Holy God, it's already Christmas.
I'm Chris Neumer. With me, over there, drinking out of a juice box, Steve Gursky Jr.
Hello there.
Our guest today was supposed to be Demolition Derby driver Kyle Shearer, personal favorite of mine. Due to technical difficulties on our end, though, this is actually not going to be possible. So today, Steve and I are going to be taking a page from Jason Derulo and riding solo. This episode of the podcast is sponsored by Driven Restorations, LLC. Driven Restorations is located in Randolph, Wisconsin. Breathe new life into your classic car with superior craftsmanship and personalized service. Free estimates and weekly project updates put you on the road to drive your dream. Visit DrivenRestorations.com, find them on Facebook, or call 608-609-5041. How you doing today, Steve?
I'm doing. He's a little tired, but we'll make it. Too much partying last night.
This is the episode number 4 of the podcast, and we've had some, we've gotten some fairly interesting feedback, and I don't know about you, but one of the consistent things that people have commented on to me from the very start of this is how interesting and off-putting our music is.
Yeah, I think a lot of people expected us to have some, like, Slayer, some death metal, just because we're associated with cars, you know, ramming into each other at high rates of speed.
Yeah.
And I think the music hits it. I think if you're getting people to comment on it, you're doing something.
There is that aspect of it, which is, you know, if you're making an impression, there's something about that. But, you know, we talked about this, and I think I pitched something to you when we were discussing theme music that, you know, I said from the very beginning that I did not want something that was Slayer-esque, Megadeth-esque. I wanted something that was the last thing in the world that people would expect when they heard Demolition Derby. I think actually the song that I told you I wanted to see if we could get was Georgie Girl by Bobby Vinton.
Yeah, I just wasn't letting that happen.
No. Well, not only that, there was a small matter of the, you know, $80,000 to $100,000 that we would need to license that particular instrument, but I thought for some reason, like when I was looking at this, I find that there's a very interesting juxtaposition between what people expect and what they get, and I think that there's when there is disparity between what you're expecting or a contrast between what people are expecting and what they get, that it often highlights things and makes them look at them from a new perspective. Sort of like, wait a minute, what are these guys doing? They're talking about the Demolition Derby and they have something that sounds like it's got violins in it.
Yeah. I mean, I think the first time I heard it, I questioned it because of course I was all like, hey, we should probably get some Metallica in there. You know, after I heard it and, you know, I like it. It's awesome. It,
yeah.
It fits well.
And, you know, it's funny. It worked out interestingly that, you know, I had a composer, a brother of mine who was supposed to put something together for me and, you know, just a little bit of texture and that sort of fell through because it ended up sounding, shall we say, Pearl Jam-esque, as opposed to the light and frothy strings that I wanted. And there's a group called Canasta, like the card game. I went to college with two of the founding members of the band. I called up the lead singer, Matt Priest, and said, listen, you know, I'm putting together this podcast, you know, with a friend of mine. Can we, there was a song they did called I Don't Know Where I'm Going With This, which was sort of, yeah, actually, interestingly, tied in very nicely with the theme of everything that we've been doing thus far. And I said, listen, you know, can we use the music for this? And Matt said, yes, absolutely.
Yep, $2,000 later, and then there it is.
$2,000, yeah.
Well, yeah, I thought that's what I paid for.
Oh, that was the down payment number one, yes,
oh,
yes.
Okay.
But you know, we got it, put it in there, and you know, Matt asked me a little bit later. He said, you know, what is this podcast? And I'm sure he was anticipating an indie music podcast or
Podcrash,
yes, or something involving. Something involving holiday party themes, things like that. Instead, I said, no, it's on the Demolition Derby, and that actually tickled him. Hmm. So this is the theme music for the show is by Canasta. And, you know, I would be remiss if I didn't point out that Canasta was going to be actually playing a pretty big record release show at Lincoln Hall in Chicago on January 4th. If you guys want to have more information about them, you can take a look at canastamusic.com as well. But, you know, I don't know. I mean, it's rare when you have an idea and, you start applying yourself and you have a very limited budget and then you get something and you go, you know, that worked out actually better than I was expecting. And it doesn't happen often, but for me, that's the case with the music. So, is it, unusual for our choice of subject matter? Yes. Is it ridiculous as some people have suggested? Go with still, yes, I can completely understand that, but
it's a different it works.
So yeah, that is, thank you to all of those who have responded and questioned our sanity for using that particular piece. I had a thing that happened to me earlier today that I'm still like marveling at. I was at Target and I was looking to buy some air freshener. You want to do that, just a little jar of air freshener that you can just put somewhere and just give a hint of a smell
like
in your apartment kind of thing.
Or...
yeah, something like that. So I was looking to figure out, I needed to figure out what kind of air freshener I was going to get. Air fresheners, and I don't know if you know this, have started naming themselves things that in no way help you understand what they smell like.
Well, I mean, yeah, what happened to the... apple pie.
Apple pie. Or I would even take lilac or lavender. Like, that would be fine. Like, these, no kidding, these are three of the choices that I had. Earth, dragon breath, and full moon. Now, I don't know about you. Number one, none of these three things, like, I don't know what they smell like, but I don't necessarily think the dragon breath is, like, what I'm going for. It's like...
that's like after all night of drinking the next
yeah,
morning
it's like,
breath.
Oh, Christ. What is that smell? Oh, that's dragon breath. So I was opening up the full moon, the package of air freshener. It was like these little crystals that you put in a bowl. And that was when the employee came over and asked me if she could help because I'm trying to, you know,
I'm destroying
the packaging, trying to figure out what it smells like. And they have this thing hermetically sealed in something that is, you know, probably could contain SARS from like passing on to things. So there's not a whiff of scent that's coming out of this stupid bag as I'm trying to figure out what full moon smells like. And I explained to the employee, I'm like, yeah, I'm just trying to figure out what this smells like. And she looked at it and she's like, well, that's full moon. And I'm trying not to be an asshole and I'm trying not to be like, really? It smells like full moon. That's fantastic. And I said, I realized that I don't know what full moon smells like. And the bag had sort of purple highlights on it. She goes, well, it smells like purple. And at which point in time, I could not contain myself. I was like, oh, it smells like purple. Because, you know, if you don't know what full moon smells like, telling people it smells like purple is, I guess, more clarifying.
Purple.
But
yeah, I don't get it. I mean, earth?
Earth,
really? So what does it just smell like, dirt?
I didn't go that route because that color was brown. And again, this is where we are in life. We have air fresheners that are called earth, and the packaging is brown. That's what you want. Put this out on the table. What is that? That's earth.
Earth.
It smells like brown.
Bowl of dirt.
Yeah. I'm still stuck on this. I mean, have you come across any things where you have... just wildly curious, either names for things or things that because the thing that I find so interesting about this air freshener stuff is it's actually hindering my ability to use their product.
I mean, they could make it a little more difficult. I mean, how about some samples right by, you know, where they're selling it? I mean,
well, then you'd have one sample that would sort of bleed into the others, I think.
I'm more of a Glade man. That's what we go with. And actually, you know, you do get the odd names of spring.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know whether it's a spring air, but I mean, they do have the stuff like lavender and this and that, which is more descriptive. I usually shoot for the easier stuff. If I was you and I would have seen Earth, Dragon's Breath, and
Full Moon,
I would have skipped right on to the one that was more cinnamon apple. That's just me, I guess.
I went with blue. I don't even remember what it's called. Blue. So if you walk into my apartment and you're like, what is that? I'm going to just tell people that's blue.
Blue.
Yeah. Something else that I happened recently, I was on my way into the city in Chicago, and I was driving up Western Avenue, and I was behind a woman driving an Audi. And I single this out because this woman was one of the most impressive drivers that I have ever seen on a street. She was driving fast. She was driving, I mean, under control. But she had a place to be, and she drove this car like she knew what it could do.
Precision driving.
Precision driving. It was a thing of beauty. It inspired me. And I realized that I am actually getting to a point in my life where competency and an ability to do something is getting to be like a turn on. Like, I looked at this woman. She was in the car with her boyfriend. She was not that attractive. I mean, she was, you know, she was all right, but, you know, she's not. Not a supermodel, not smoking hot. And I watched her take control of this car. And like, if she needed to pass somebody, she would get up right behind them and just let them know, hey, get over. I'm here. I need to get through. And that car would move over. And I was looking at this and I was like, oh, you go, girl. You take that car.
Oh, you were wishing you were the car, huh?
Really, honestly, truly, competency is a turn on. Like, this is where we are in life.
Well, yeah, I think as you get older, you know, as you mature and stuff like that, you know, less is based on looks and more on intelligence and, like you said, competency, big time. You know, I mean, I'm lucky enough to be married to a woman that's very beautiful, smart, and very competent. So, you know, for me, I mean, if I guess I was sitting, you know, your age, mid-50s.
That's just how old I look.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, you know, in the world, it seems to be full of morons right about now.
It really does.
I mean, I'm not the smartest man in the world, but some days I feel like a damn rocket scientist.
It's one of those things where you end up, somebody says something or somebody tells you that they believe something, and you just end up squinting at them. And it's like you're trying hard not to like reach for the nearest frying pan and just whack them in the head. But at the same time, it's like you're marveling at the sheer stupidity and the profundity of the stupidity of what it is that they've just said.
Well, yeah, I mean, just like you're describing in the old Target with the employee.
Who told me it smelled like purple, yeah.
Right, you know, you look at that. I mean, in what better place, you know, besides like the motorsport world, whether it's team demos or circle track or anything like that, you know, there's always a few in there that will basically bullshit you to death. And I don't know, it's kind of, they must think that you are dumber than shit because mm-hmm. some of the things that they tell you and you're just supposed to believe them.
Yeah, not only that, you're like, really? You expect me? What is your opinion of me where you can actually say that line and think that I'm going to believe it?
Right.
Thank you. You've not only insulted me, but now I'm depressed and you're stupid.
Yeah, you know, and you don't know whether, you know, they're smart enough to try to bullshit you or they're just that dumb that they think you're going to believe it.
It's like I always take a look at people who are running for president and you know, you think about the intrusion of the lifestyle of being a president. I mean, just figure that, I mean, every aspect of your life, every single one of them is going to be open to the public. You know, if you drank a little bit too much here, you know, it's coming out.
Oh, yeah.
If you have any indiscretions, they're coming out.
You know, you like to be bound and gagged by strippers, you know.
It's coming out.
It's coming out, yeah.
You know, it's coming out, and it's like I can't imagine who would want to actually open their life up to that because everybody has things they don't want getting out. And then you think about it, and it's like they believe that they're better than you or they believe that –
Or they just pull the wool over your eyes.
Yeah, it's one or the other. It's either I'm going to be able to fool you or I think you're an idiot. And it's they're sort of opposite ends of the same spectrum. But
the general consensus is that the mob, which is – the people under the government, we are dumb.
Yeah, you know? This is, it's kind of funny that, you know, you think about this, like in terms of some of the presidential debates that are going on presently, people just say stuff that isn't true. I mean, it's like they just flat out come out and say, you know, it's like, you know, you're, if there were such a thing as a demo debate, it's like you could, somebody could come out and go, well, like in 2011, when Mean Green Machine won the championship, and nobody goes, that's just not true.
Right.
It's, or, like, oh,
know,
well.
Yeah, like, you know, the whole debates of I'm going to lower taxes and, you know, we're going to get rid of this national debt. Yeah, mm-hmm. And everyone cheers. That is most absurd thing I've ever heard.
And you're like, wait a minute, that life would be awful if that were the case.
Yeah.
I look at these things, and, you know, we had Ryan Decker in here like a week or two ago, and, you know, you were taken with his approach to the demos. It was like he didn't want to go out and party. He didn't want to, you know, go out and try to you know, just look good. He wanted to go out and win. And it was, you know, like I was absolutely shocked because, you know, you've had a couple of drivers that you've mentioned to me over the years. I know Robbie Stahulik is one that you would like on a team. It's like you're putting together your ultimate team throughout history. It's you. It's Robbie Stahulik. Who else do you have on that team?
Well, obviously, probably be my dad. You know, but all family aside, if there was no family, it would be, you know, like me, Robbie Stahulik, gosh, you know, just as of recently, Ryan Decker. He seems to carry the same attitude toward racing as I.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, there's just certain drivers where it's like, okay, there's some drivers that do this, which is kind of funny to say, but say fame, you know, put on a show for the crowd, you know, that's what they're there for, which is all well and fine. I'm a product of, if I go out there and race well and the crowd likes it and we win, I'm happy.
Yeah.
You know, it's not saying that, you know, forget the crowd, but my first goal is to win. You know, when you sign up or commit to a team, it comes down to your ultimate goal is to win. You know, I know Reckoning, our team, had a premise of let's go out and have fun. Oh, that's what this season's about, is having fun. Which was all well and fine. Maybe that worked for the other guys in the team, but, you know, I'd say that. But my whole goal was to win and win every race that you're in, you know. And
well, I encounter this when I run in like 5Ks or things like that, which is people go, oh, it's a fun run. You know, you don't have to try that hard, or, you know, you can just go out and jog or whatever. And I always go, you know what I have fun doing? I have fun winning. I have fun getting medals. I have fun going up there and being like, yep. Well, in the top three.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's what it comes down to, like, in today's society, you know, it's like with our kids nowadays, they get a trophy for participation.
Yeah.
You know, it's, well, we all had fun. Well, you know, I'm a competitor. I like to compete, you know, and if I'm beat, I don't want a trophy. You get last place, you know, can you imagine going out and having a bad year like Damage Inc. had, and they get a trophy for getting last place because they participated.
Yeah.
What is that?
You've got me. For probably the last 10 years, I have been offering social commentary on the concept of soccer overtaking baseball as the predominant youth sport in America. And I'm convinced it's simply because there are less places for kids to make mistakes. It's like, you know, in baseball, like, which I played growing up, I don't even know, like, when I was growing up, if I could have played soccer if I had wanted to. I have a thing where I like to use my hands, so that would have been out anyway. What was that?
Said I heard that about you.
Yep.
No, I understand. Like, yeah, I mean,
it's like in baseball, and a kid's terrible, you don't put him at pitcher, you don't put him at first base, you just basically throw him in right field. That was always the insult. It's like, where do you play? Oh, I play in right field. It's like, oh, you suck. Yeah, okay.
Yep.
But, you know, in soccer, it's like you got 11 people on the field. Okay, you need the goalie, and then that's it. You got 10 kids who are all basically doing the same thing.
Yeah, running around kicking the ball and whatnot. That's it. You know? Yeah, I see it. I played baseball for 2 years, and I did play right field.
Uh-oh.
But I also played shortstop. So, okay, I wasn't that bad. And it was one of those things where, you know, if you are playing right field or even shortstop, sometimes you are bored.
Yeah.
You're standing there doing nothing. At least you play soccer, man, you're running around like crazy. You know, I mean, maybe you get to touch the ball here or there, but
thank you for agreeing with me. I appreciate your near
constantly going against you and your hating of Tebow's and stuff. But
yes, as an aside, how has the company TiVo not somehow worked out an agreement with Tebow?
I think they're waiting for him to just get the Broncos into the playoffs. You know,
is there a rapper TiLo?
CeeLo. There's CeeLo. There's, I'm sure there's got to be. Yeah.
T-Pain. Whatever.
Well, there will be a.
Yeah, if there isn't, if there isn't now, there sure as hell should be. Going back to our earlier the point, you know, there are. This is an exclusive list of drivers that you would like to race with on your team. I mean, you've been in the league for 5 years. Every year there are probably 45 drivers. That's, you know, four per team plus backups and things like that. So 40, 45 drivers. And it's like, you know, you've been exposed to a lot of drivers and unfortunately by like a handful. But it's like, here's Robbie Stahulik and now Ryan Decker. And it's like, why do you like these guys? And you go, well, they're about winning and they sort of focus and work hard. And it's like, that's it? Those are your standards and you can come up with two?
Well, you know, I mean, you know, I know of, you know, I mean, there's guys out that are in the league that, you know, that I know and I know what I've seen or heard type of deal. But I mean, there's
seen or heard good or seen or heard bad.
Both. I mean, you know, that's where I'm drawing my conclusion from. You know, I mean, I'm keeping names out of certain guys because of past, you know, the history of them, you know. But I mean, there's a few guys in there that I don't know about, like, I, you know, like Levi Turnbull. He could be all about winning, right? I mean, he could be, that's what he shows up for, you know. Maybe it's the fact that, I mean, they did, you know, he's on full throttle, and they did a great job. He started the year out on Team 2, switched over. Full stride, they kept on going. You know, he could be like that, and I leave him out of my, you know, quote-unquote dream team because I really don't know. I've never sat down with him and said, hey, you know, or he's never said, you know, hey, this is all I want to do is win, 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 and, you know, I don't care about putting on a show. You know, winning's winning, whether it's ugly. I don't know that, but yeah. I just do know from, you know, talking to them or whether it's racing with people, you know.
Well, let me ask you this. Are there ways that you can look at on the track, I guess, behavior and judge or glean whether a driver is about winning or focused?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, for me, you know, it's like if you win a race, you know, you can say you wave to the crowd, hey, we won a race, and you drive off. But, you know, like the guys, you know, granted, if you're winning a championship, you get out on the roof of your car and you jump on it, you know, okay, mm-hmm. I can understand you're extremely happy. But you win a first-round race against a teammate, you get out of your car and you wave and dance to the crowd.
Yeah, but you might know, be young. I don't know if that can necessarily be.
Why it's based on my opinion, you know. Oh, okay. This is where I draw it from, and, you know, because I was young once and I raced young, and that's not how I went, you know. It's just one of them deals where, you know, you look at guys that are proven, and the only reason I say proven is in Robbie Stahulik. And then with Ryan Decker, he's not proven yet, but just from communicating with him and hearing his take on team demos, it is right up the alley that I got. You know, it was almost like, you know, it's almost like he heard me talking and just repeated the same thing that I've said since I've been doing this, you know.
Well, let me ask you this. Say you go to like a county fair or a free-for-all style demo. You go out there, you look at the drivers. They got, what, 20, 25 guys out there on the track. Now, sure, you can take, oh, there, I'll take the winner. But if you're looking for that attitude in a situation like that, is there a way to be able to look at, because what I'm saying is there, it seems like there has to be a way or certain category qualities that you look for that are what you're looking for. Like,
yeah, I guess like car presentation. You know, you'll say you could look at their car, you know, you know, say it's set up really well, you know, not even looks wise, like paint and stuff like that. You know, it's not flashy, but just say you look at it, it's a solid car, or, you know, or it's a super clean car. You know, the guy just threw a lot of money out to get it. You know, you look at his equipment, you know, what's he bringing? You know, he's got, you know, this specialized trailer that he brought. I mean, he's all in. You know, I mean, can you pose as an all-in guy? You know, but basically, I guess it's a little bit harder just to go by on track, you know, because you can have a guy out there that it's all about winning and he loses.
Yep.
You know, or he's all about, that's all he wants to do is win, 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 but he's not talented enough to drive the car.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, that's kind of, you know, it's kind of a tricky thing in what you're asking.
But look, like I always look at this, like, you know, I am a photographer as well as a writer, and like whenever I look at makeup artists, people always say, oh, well, what are the, you know, how do you judge whether a makeup artist is good or not? And I always say, because I always say, you look at how well they put the fake eyelashes on and you look at how well they do the corners of the mouth when they're putting the lipstick on or any kind of lip gloss or covering like that. Because, you know, this is what people want to know about is how to judge makeup artists.
Yes. You know, and that's in direct relation with team demos.
Yes. Demos as a whole. Yes. but it's sort of like you can do that. It's like you show, it's like if a makeup artist hands me a photo, I look instantly to the corners of the mouth and the eyelashes. That's it. That's how I judge everything. And it's like, if they can nail that, they've got it. And I'm saying, like, are there any parts, any build specs on a car or anything like that where you look at them and you're like, you do that, okay, you know what's up?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, you know, it's kind of tough, I guess. You know, I mean, you look at Robbie's cars, they're always set up. They're always, you know, clean, meaning not even rust-wise, but clean in the build. Everything's done. You know, attention to detail, stuff like that, you know, obviously.
Are there examples of the attention to detail, like where you can look at and you go, I saw that and I like it, was there anything about Robbie's car setup that you looked at and you were like, yeah, that impressed me?
Well, I mean, it's probably how, like when you look in there, you know, it would be simple things like angle iron for his body bolts. It's all the same. You know, you don't have hodgepodge, mismatch, this and that, you know. You come down to simple things like tires. You know, he always ran, if you ran a swamper tire, you ran a beadlock rim with it. You know, his motors were done. Mm-hmm. You know, it was like the attention to detail. He gave himself every opportunity to win a race. Basically, what it come down to is, you know, I'm going to make sure my car doesn't fail, and then it'll come down to whether, you know, I win the race or you know, our team as a whole is successful, you know. That's, I mean, that's what it comes down to. You know, like you look at even Ryan Decker, you know, the things that he does to his cars, you know.
Save for welding the frame seams.
Well, it, yeah, right.
Although you know, that was, I mean, you got, like, I hate to bring this up, but it's like, you do want to, you want to see a guy who cares about winning. Look at the guy who's cheating. I mean, that guy, is, it's like he wants to win. And granted, you know, he removed it before he raced, but it's like that guy wants to win.
Right. You know, I mean, it, you know, like with you know, his cars, you know, he goes after the primo cars, you know, it's, oh, 77 through 79 caddies, you know, he loves them. So, you know, that's the kind of car he chooses. So, I mean, he's spending extra money and spending the extra time to find that car to win, to put himself in a better position to succeed.
Hmm. I wonder if we could take a look at just, I wonder at like younger drivers and just see the cars they're bringing out. Well, I guess Ryan Decker would be a younger driver, but just like, you know, like the guys, it's just like, well, if you're driving a 77 to 79 caddy, boom, there you are. It's like, I wonder if those guys succeed at a higher rate than guys who are driving like early 90s bubble cars or something.
Well, you know, I think it also comes down to, you know, yes, I just said, you know, you have this car, you have to have the means to get it, though. I mean, let's say like Steve Schaefer on Team 2. You know, if
who
he get,
you like.
Yes, I
he
do.
He is your Kyle Shearer.
Yeah, he, you know, he is impressive, but, you know, he's a little cocky, which is good. You need to have that. And I think he, you know, he kind of went, not unseen, but, you know, he had good races against Orange Crush. You know, if he gets in to mingle with a team that has, you know, some more consistency around him, you know, he can be a real good driver in the TDA. I mean, real good, you know, and granted, that's my opinion, you know, but that's what this is all about. But when you look at him is, you know, I know he ran a couple, you know, I think most of his cars he ran this year had still had this factory aluminum bumpers on the front, which we all swap out for steel, mm-hmm. obvious reasons. Well, what that comes down to is, you know, he probably wants to win. He wants to be competitive, which, you know, obviously he does. But resources-wise, you know, he may be running a stock motor with a aluminum bumper because that's what his team owner can only come up with because of just resources, you know.
Sure.
So that's where, like, the car build kind of throws a monkey wrench in it, you know.
Yeah. You just want to take those guys, though, that you see and put them in a better position to, say, more fully allow them to reach their potential.
Right. You know, I mean, it's like you look at you know, if I was a team owner and say I own team two and I could persuade Decker to come over and Robbie and put Schaefer in there and, I mean, bring Levi in too and then give them guys good equipment. They're all good drivers, you know, and if they all have the same goal of we want to win, you know, we don't want to put on a show. You know, we don't want to have, I mean, this sounds funny. We don't want to have fun. You know, we just want to win, which fun comes along with that.
I think by fun, you're sort of saying we don't want to get out on the track and just fuck around and hit people for no reason.
Yeah, you know, like, well, what are we going to do this round? Okay, well, you know, we're going up against, you know, Reckoning. Let's send out four crushers and just have some
fun. Dude, I'm putting Brian Anderson on the wall.
Right.
That's my goal.
Yeah, you know, that right there, you know, it's, you know, no matter who it is, Reckoning, Orange Crush, Team 8, you know, we're going to go out and run laps. We're going to win this race because that's what matters, you know.
Thus wraps up this week's episode of Behind the Destruction. We are going to be taking the week of Christmas off, not only to figure out our technical issues, but because it's Christmas. And to all of those of you out there, we wish you a Merry Christmas, a Happy Hanukkah, or whatever other holiday you happen to celebrate. May it be warm and good, and may our technical problems go away.
For Chris Neumer and Steve Gierske Jr., go Gierske or go home. I'm John Sensimer. We hope you enjoyed our podcast, and thank you for listening. For past episodes of Behind the Destruction and the latest Demolition Derby columns and interviews, please visit BehindTheDestruction.com. You can follow us on our Facebook page or follow Chris Neumer on Twitter @CNeumer. C-N-E-U-M-E-R.